What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Crazy to think it's basically October, but here we are. I'm Tanner Lee Coase, Evan Webb in the house. Our other co-host, Aaron Lynch, is not joining us this evening. And it's a good thing. Good thing he's not joining us this evening because he and his wife, Kristen, welcomed their baby girl into the world. I believe yesterday. So congratulations to the Lynches. And I think he should be back on the pod next week. But if he needs a couple episodes off, we totally get it. A
little paternity leave. Yeah, we'll grant it.
We totally get it. So congratulations to them. Sounds like everybody's doing well. So it's awesome. That's awesome. So hopefully she'll be a future Boiler of class of.
I don't want to think about it. Don't want to think about it. Don't even say it.
40 something. I think. Yeah. That'd be 40 something, I think. Okay, that's enough math, and don't want to do any more math in today. But yes, we're basically in the month of October. Today's the last day of September, and the month of October, which we thought going into this season, turns out like it's going to be the crucial month for Purdue football, which is the 2025 season. On the docket for the month of October is the Saturday's game, home game against number 22 Illinois. The next Saturday at Minnesota, which was announced, it's a night game, 7:30, Big Ten Network. Then on the road to Evanston after that, then homecoming at home versus Rutgers. So not sure how many games Purdue will be favored in that four-game stretch, but you got to like Purdue's chances of being more competitive than they were even in USC and Notre Dame.
100%. I'd like to think they'd be favored at, and it's at Northwestern, but I guess we'll see. Maybe there's still a lot of games that we played before then. But yeah, it's, I mean, this is the month. I mean, I guess like pie in the sky, you'd hope, you know, three wins, and I think just absolute, you know, everything breaks your way when all four, which would obviously start with Saturday. I think, yeah, I think there's obviously going on the road is no easy task, but, you said you get two of them at home. So obviously it's a tall task against a ranked team coming in on Saturday, but yeah, this could make the rest of the season really fun. Or obviously we know going into November that November is kind of murderer's row right now. So you got to get what you can.
Yep, absolutely. And you brought up Saturday will be the 75th battle for the Purdue cannon. Of course, the series goes on longer than that. Purdue actually leads all-time series with Illinois 48-46-6. So pretty darn close there. Purdue leads the Cannon series 40-31-2. Largest victory in the series history is, got to go back to 1890. The Boilers beat the Illini by a score of 62-0. The longest win streak. Can you guess which team has the longest win streak and how many?
Man. Well, I want to say Purdue, but my gut's telling me Illinois has the longer streak.
It is Illinois. You are correct.
Okay. Man, I know they were like really good, like back before anybody cared. I'm going to say the longest streak is like seven.
Six, and they've done it twice. 1906 to 1911, and then 1988 through 1993.
Okay.
So, yep. Current win streak is, of course, Illinois. One, they beat Purdue in a shootout of a game last year by 1 point in overtime, which coincidentally, Ryan Brown started that game in place of injured Hudson Card. So Ryan's had a crack at the Illini, even though you can't put too much stock into that anymore in what is college football in 2025. I mean, Purdue's got new staff. Illinois's got mostly the same staff, but new players. So, yeah. But my trivia question this evening, and I wish I would have came up with a different question. Now I thought of a different one like 5 minutes before we were to start, but I didn't know the answer. So dating back as far as I could go back, which I will tell you, the farthest box scores I could find was 03. So dating back to 03, which quarterback has thrown for the most yards in a single game against Illinois?
I'm going to go with David Blough.
You are correct, my friend. David Blau in 2018 was completed 25 of 36 attempts for 377
yards. And may tie TDs. Into my blind rankings later.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. So he threw for over 300. Aiden O'Connell threw for over 300. Kyle Orton threw for over 300. Glad once again I didn't rely on AI because AI tried to tell me it was Ryan Brown. But he threw for, I think it was 297. I think.
So it was, yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, I'm going to fact check this. And thank goodness I did. So
I think it was, that Illinois game. We scored 49 points in the rest of, I think just against, not the rest of the season, because we scored, 49 against Indiana State. But against all FBS teams, Purdue scored like 63 points combined in 10 other games.
That's just pathetic.
We scored 49 against Illinois.
You know, you could make a good argument that Illinois is actually Purdue's second rival in football now that we don't 100%. Play Notre Dame every year, even though I still can't put them over Notre Dame just because it's Notre Dame. But I will say, like, growing up, I didn't pay a lot of attention to this rivalry. Maybe that was because Purdue had a lot of success and still is having a lot of success against Illinois, or it's definitely more intense on the hardwood, especially in the last decade. But I will say the older I've got, the more serious I've taken this rivalry.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's, you know, once we kind of got out of the Orton years and it, you know, the Notre Dame wins just didn't come, it kind of felt like, okay, that's, you know, one rivalry. It's like, you know, if you win, it could be a special season, but if not, then just take care of your two other, your two other trophy games, which usually Purdue, for the most part, except for a couple of spurts there, but if those are the games that you felt, if you can, you know, get those, then you've got a good shot at making a bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, my dad, I remember growing up, always said, and he still says this, but particularly for basketball, since we always play every school, football, you only play select schools now with 18 teams in the conference. He always says, beat the eyes. Illinois, Indiana, Iowa. You beat the eyes, you're probably going to have a pretty good season. So I've always remembered that. But it's usually a pretty good game. The games are pretty competitive. Like, Purdue's won 7 of the last 10 in this series.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The ugliest one in those 10 years was 2015 in West Lafayette. Illinois just ran Purdue off the field 48-14. Yep. Another ugly one was 2019, just a downpour of a game, 24-6 by Illinois. But last year was a one-point win, like we already said, by Illinois. But every other year, it's usually pretty close, except there was a stretch under Jeff Brohm. Besides 2019, Purdue usually took care of Illinois pretty easily. Took care of them by 19 points in 2017, by 39 points in 2018, 7 points in 2020, and I guess only 4 points at 21 and 7 points in 22. So, okay, a little closer there at the end of the Brohm era than I thought. But even Ryan Walters' first year being by 25.
Yeah, it took it to him. It was like 6-3 at the end of the first. I think it was really tight. And then second half, Purdue scored 21 unanswered in the third quarter and just kind of ran away with it. That was a while ago. We were kind of thinking everything was looking up. I think it was our, wasn't it for a while there? It was like each team would win on the road. They couldn't win at home, but the away team, you could usually put a bet that the away team was going to win that game.
Yeah, it was, let's see, in 2012, Purdue won on the road. 2013, Illinois won on the road. 2014, Purdue won on the road. 2015, Illinois won on the road. 2016, Purdue won on the road.
Yeah.
So the Hazel Lovey era there, just back and forth.
What year were you on the sideline for? I know we won. Was it 2012
over at Illinois. Yep, we won by a score of 20-17. God, that was cold night.
Hold the cannon.
Yep, it's an interesting rivalry trophy. It looks kind of pathetic because of the size, but I will tell you, it's heavy. It's heavier than you think. I mean, it comes off the wooden platform it's on too.
Oh, it does.
It does. But I was too nervous to take it off because I'm like, no, I'm going to drop it. It's going to break. And I've been to Champaign also just as a fan in 2010. Worst football road trip I've ever been on. 44-10 lost. We set the, I went with the Purdue Alumni Student Experience. I was part of PACE. We sat way up top. The wind was whipping up top. It was freezing. It was October. Yeah, October 30th.
It's always like mid to late October, if not early November.
It was the week after we lost to Ohio State and Rob Henry messed up his finger. So he tried to give it a go, and he only took one snap. Couldn't do it. So Sean Robinson had to play quarterback. I think he threw for 56 yards.
Wow.
And
he's from Rochester, Illinois.
Yep. And Michael LeSure was the running back, I believe, for Illinois. He played for the Lions for a little bit.
Yeah.
He ran all over us. He was between Mendenhall and, oh gosh, who was the other back they had? They had about three good backs in a row. He was between those two. I don't remember the other back.
Was that Zook on there? Was that he the coach?
That would have been Zook still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That would have been Ron Zook, who could always recruit.
Yeah.
Purdue, Illinois has always been a fun rivalry. It's interesting, though, back when the Big Ten was 11 teams, Illinois wasn't one of Purdue's two protected opponents. It was Indiana and Northwestern for whatever reason, because 07 and 08, Purdue did not play Illinois. Neither did they in 99 or 2000.
Well, it kind of ties into this year. Do you see that? I think it was last week they announced the Self or whatever station is doing like a rivalry series for multiple games this year. It's like there's there'll probably be a logo on the field. It happened for a game this past week. I saw, I can't remember what game it was, but there's two Purdue games. It's the Bucket game and then the North game is like the rivalry.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. I thought it was gonna be this week, and then I saw the schedule. Yeah, Purdue's only on there twice, and it was
the
Bucket game and Northwestern.
Yeah, and from a mile standpoint, these two schools are closer than any other Big Ten schools. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, I used to part of my territory that I did for work used to cover Champaign, and it was a very easy drive. Very easy drive. Yeah. I was coming from Indy, but it was, you know, 2 hours, less than 2 hours to get to Champaign. So it's a super easy drive.
So you would think, with all that in consideration, automatic, okay, that's Purdue's other rival. But for some reason, a lot of people don't view it that way. I don't get it. But of course, we don't have a Purdue game to recap this week. Purdue had a bye, which I think the bye week came at a perfect time.
I agree.
This year, the first bye week, second one, whatever. It's the week before Indiana.
Yeah.
Which I guess could be good looking.
They get one too. So,
yeah. They have a bye week that week too.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Illinois is coming off a big win for them over USC. A win in which they were underdogs. Mm-hmm. There were two places in the polls behind USC, but they rushed the field. I want to think it was more because they hit a walk-off field goal and maybe probably tied in with Fox Big Noon. I don't know. But I was surprised they rushed the field.
Especially the fact that they were, a week ago, they were top 10.
Yes, very good point. And got murdered.
Yeah.
That leads me to question, if Purdue pulls off this victory over now number 22 ranked Illinois, does Purdue do the students rush the field?
I want to say no, but also, you know, over the last, you know, I feel like people's memories are shorter and shorter. So of all people can remember is last year and maybe the year before of going only winning four games, despite beating Illinois like a drum. I don't know. I guess it maybe depends on the game. I don't know, how the game goes.
It depends if it's
pretty
tight.
Kind of, but I don't know. I mean, I think this would be a little more warranted than what Illinois did on Saturday.
I do too.
But yeah, we'll see.
I believe I should fact check this before I say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I believe the last time Illinois came into Purdue ranked, Purdue beat them in 2011.
It's been that long.
I think Illinois was ranked 24th or 25th. I think they only had one loss. And I remember that was one of the only games that year where Purdue had the same quarterback play from start to finish. Caleb Turbush played arguably his best game of his Purdue career that day.
Yeah, I was a freshman that year. I don't remember that.
21-14 win.
Hmm.
Yeah. Barber. But I'm pretty sure they were ranked, at least in one of the polls. I think they were ranked 25th. I could be wrong about that. But last year when they beat us, they were ranked 23rd. Besides that, the last time they were ranked in a victory over Purdue, you got to go back to 2001. They're ranked 21st. That was the year Illinois made the Sugar Bowl with Kirk Kidner. They beat Purdue 38-13. I don't remember watching that game on TV, but I remember Purdue losing and I would have been, you know, pretty young than fourth grade, but I remember, you know, coming off the Rose Bowl year, I'm like, what? Like, yeah. Illinois beat Purdue 38-13? Like, what is going on? Then Illinois ended up being really good that year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No helmet stickers since Purdue didn't play. But what are a few keys you're looking at going into this game Saturday as far as, like, Purdue has to do this if they want to win?
I mean, it's you got to get pressure on Altmyer.
Yes.
He is, you know, a really good quarterback. Yeah, you can't give him time back there. Because, one, he can kill you with his feet anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, he can beat you in multiple ways. But, yeah, you can't just let him just sit back and pick you apart. Because Illinois has got some talented receivers. And sure, they've got a good offense. I believe they're off. I think their entire offensive line is back from last year, if I remember that correctly.
I think that is the weakness of their team right now, though, is their offensive line.
I was going to say, like, get pressure on Altmyer and then force turnovers.
Yep.
Something Purdue has done once.
He has yet to throw a pick
on
the season, but you could also play devil's advocate there and say, well, he's due. And Purdue's due to get a pick because they haven't had one through four games, and they've only had one fumble recovery through four games. So, but yeah, Purdue's got, I think, you know, as much as the DBs are struggling or playing inconsistent, I think it starts with the pass rush.
100%.
Better pass rush you have, the more pressure takes off the defensive backs, and it can cause hurries, bad throws, turnovers.
I mean, I think case in point is, you know, the difference between 2023 and 2024. 2023, we had Skorton and Jenkins going after quarterbacks and led to Thieneman being an All-American. Versus last year, we had pass rush was non-existent and our DBs just got picked apart.
Which, unfortunately, now nobody's going to remember Thieneman as an All-American. He is now known for what he did Saturday night against Penn State.
Yeah. But I didn't text you guys, but I was going to text the group chat. I think that no one was responding. Like, they're probably either asleep or whatever. But I was like,
I did fall asleep during the game.
I was like, I swear to God, Thieneman's going to end this game. It's going to piss me off. And, like, it was like the next play he picked it off. And
that was
like,
impressive.
I was home alone. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Yeah. I'm happy for him in a way. But yeah.
Yeah. I fell asleep and I woke up the next morning to some text messages. And one of them was from a mutual friend of ours. And he's, I got to look up, see what he said, because it was right before I even looked at the score. I'm like, well, Thieneman did something to, to ice the game.
I think I said, texted you guys.
Said he said he's still legit walk off. That was the text. And I'm like, oh, Thieneman did something to win the game. And then I saw the other text and I went and saw the highlights. So.
Yeah. I think I texted our podcaster Thieneman cult game. It was,
That's what the announcer said too. Thieneman called game. Yeah. So good for, I mean, kid's a good player. He's a good player. Just still hurts seeing him and Max Clare. And those are the only two I've really seen because I watch more Big Ten than anything else. Yeah. So I haven't seen Will Help much for Clemson or Cole Brevard for Texas or there's a million of them out there actually. So yeah, I think so. And then on the flip side of offense, Purdue's got to get the ground game going. Just has to. Last in the conference right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it starts up front, which hopefully this bye week kind of allowed them to maybe scheme some things. I mean, we got who we got. Obviously, we know what mock we can do, but if we can't get a push, then it's, you know, doesn't really matter.
Yep. And I know the quick passing game can substitute a little bit for a run game, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to run the ball a little bit. So that's my big thing. It'll be interesting to see the battle of the punters with Purdue's ex-punter Crimmins, who's having another good year.
Yeah.
Illinois. And now Jack McAllister. That I laughed when Tom from Golden Black, Tom Dienhart, asked Barry Odom in his press conference yesterday, right now, would you say he's the MVP of the team? And Barry pretty much said, well, I hope we don't have to use him too much going forward. But he said Jack's doing a great job. You know, he's a weapon.
Yeah.
So he made the right answer. But I'm like, come on, Tom. The only other takeaway I had from his press conference is George. He said he expects him back this year. Didn't say what injury. Didn't say how long. But that's another big thing to watch because now the three tight ends who will be playing in place of George have combined one catch.
Yeah.
So Rico Walker, Christian Evans, I think that's his name, and also Christian Moore, I think.
one of them's like a massive human being.
Yeah, I could have got one of the Christians' last name mixed up. Yeah. They have to step up now because Purdue needs tight end. They need tight end in the pass game. So, so we'll see, and we'll see if we get Morissette. Help me out here.
Nylon.
Thank you, Morissette and Chauncey Magwood. We'll see if they,
if
they're ready to rock this week. I don't know. So, but haven't heard of any injuries that popped up over the bye week. But Barry and staff are pretty quiet when it comes to the injury report as well.
Yeah, we'll find out Saturday morning.
Yep. I'm just glad we don't have to look for Mike Carmen's backside report anymore.
Yeah.
That's been nice, at least so far. And Barry spoke highly of Ryan Brown when asked about Ryan Brown. Pretty much said, I'm glad he's our quarterback. He's getting better every week. And I agree, he is getting better.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see him cut down on the interceptions.
Yeah.
But that comes with experience, I think. But he's a gamer. I mean, he might throw a pick, but he'll make up for it with some other plays later on, whether it be with his feet or his arm. He's got a lot better arm than I thought.
He is. I was expecting, like, I don't know he's averaging, but I was expecting like him to average like 120 a game or something, like nothing crazy. Average 120, run for 65 a game or something like that. But he's impressed me very much with his arm.
Yep. Okay. So, well, we won't do our score prediction yet, but we can go with a spicy bowl prediction.
Okay. Oh man. Spicy bowl prediction.
I got one, but I'll let you go first. And if you take it, I'm going to be mad.
I'm going to say Purdue is a pick six.
That's pretty close to mine, but I like it. But
I'll give you my other one, too. I'll let you say yours, and I'll say my other one I had originally.
Purdue has multiple interceptions. They go from zero to at least two on the season.
Okay. So. My other one was Mockbee has two rushing touchdowns.
I like that. The other one in my mind was a kick return or punt return touchdown by Purdue, but it's been so long. I can't even throw it out.
You know what it looks like.
We don't. So, I'm hoping the crowd shows up. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day in West Lafayette. Noon kickoff, Big Ten Network. And it's funny. I know you and I were chatting, in the group text, I think it was last week. Growing up, we hated noon games because that's all Purdue ever got.
Yeah.
And you know, the occasional 3:30, the occasional night games before Ross State had lights, permanent lights, so they, you know, ESPN or ABC bring them in. And now, as I've got older, I kind of like noon games.
Yeah, it depends on the weekend for me. I love them sometimes. I don't like noon games for homecoming just because I feel like I want to get up there and like, around just take in campus again. But when it's noon, it's tough just to get up there in time.
Yeah.
All that. But yeah, I'll take. And we should be clear of a knock on wood. Should be clear of a rain delay. Delay this week.
I thought it was going to affect my pro team last night. The Broncos 2 hours before kick, they had storms in the area. I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is this? But luckily, it moved through pretty quickly by kickoff. But I'm like, come on. But I mean, when it's 82 degrees on September 30th.
Yeah. Trying to see what the weather's looking like for Saturday.
I think it was a high 81 last I looked. Clear skies. But
Saturday, high of 88.
Oh, wow.
Yep. 0% chance of rain.
High of 88 on October 4th.
Yep. Very warm with the temperature tying the record from 1997 with plenty of sun.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get political here, but global warming is definitely a thing.
Cloud cover, 2%. Bring your sunscreen.
Bring your sunscreen.
Max UV index is 4.3, so I'm going to say you're probably good.
Look at you with all your weather stats.
I will get sunburned.
Hey, at least you're not 18-year-old Evan who would be wearing jeans.
Yep. No doubt.
Middle Tennessee. That was 2011. 2011. Not 2011. But still. All right. Let's pick some games around the conference and top 25.
Say my blind rankings is Illinois related. Yeah. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot
about that. So this is very simple. I've got 5 Purdue versus Illinois games.
All right.
So I want you to rank them how you want, and whether Yeah, I'll let you decide how you're going to rank them before we start.
Are they all wins?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll do it with how excited I was after the game.
Okay. Starting out, October 8th, 2016, Purdue defeats Illinois in overtime, 34-31, thanks to freshman kicker J.D. Dellinger. For which this part that blew my mind probably the most, Purdue improved to 3-2.
Yeah, I think Hazel lasted one more game.
Yeah, and Illinois maybe dropped 1-4. Purdue was led in rushing by Langford Johnson, who ran it 18 times.
That's a name I haven't thought of. Holy cow.
127 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, one in overtime.
Well, and I believe our field goal banked in, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Illinois used all three timeouts to ice. Or,
right.
Or did we use all the timeouts against Illinois and they missed?
We used it because they missed it because it was the joke of like, Hazel's a genius.
So I'm going with 5. Okay. I was not very excited. I remember I was in Denver, Colorado, because I went to a Broncos game the next day. Paxton Lynch's debut against the Falcons and the loss.
Oh, but boy.
Neither here nor there. That was very awful offensive performance. Anyways, nobody cares. Anyways, I just remember watching that like, I'm glad we beat Illinois because I got bragging rights over one of my friends, but like, great. Right, now Hazel's around for another week type thing. And it's like, it was just laughable. It's like, who could suck worse out of the two teams? And like, okay, Daryl can beat Illinois, but he can't beat anybody else.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe that when I looked at the box score, because it pulls up from the ESPN app and like still shows mm-hmm. stuff. They said, Purdue was 3-2. And I was like, we had a winning record.
he was either lasted one or two more weeks. Cause I remember we got absolutely embarrassed at Maryland. Like 52-7. And then the Iowa homecoming game was the last straw.
Yeah. Cause then we went out to Pence or Nebraska. Was it
Nebraska? I believe.
Jared Parker's first game. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So that's your 5. All right.
Yep. Yep.
Second one, November 12th, 2022. Purdue is in the Champaign and wins 31-24, spoiling Illinois' chances to clinch the Big Ten West in front of a not sold out crowd. I just want to point that out. A freshman walk on by the name of Devin Mockaby ran 28 times for 106 yards and a touchdown.
He wore the white lids, if I'm not mistaken, that day. Your white lids or black lids. We watched it with our buddy who was then an Illinois football fan, and now he says he's not.
His bachelor party,
playing top golf. His dad, who is an Illinois football fan, was watching it, and so that was fun because Purdue was pretty aggressive with Illinois that day. And Illinois was getting called for a lot of DPIs with Ryan Walters, which
is DC.
We probably talked some smack about him and had no idea he was going to be interested at the end of the next month.
Yeah.
But, because after that game, we're like, we got a good shot to win the Big Ten West.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it at 2.
Okay. I just can't believe that they had a chance. I mean, granted, it was November. It was cold. I mean, it was a pretty cold day in the crowd. Like, I mean, if that was at Purdue, if it was flipped, Ross State would have been a powder keg.
Jumping.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me who led Purdue in receiving based off yards? I'll say
it's Payne Durham.
Nope. He was second.
Barely. I remember him having a good game.
He had 2 touchdowns. He was like 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. This receiver had 72 yards.
TJ Sheffield.
Yep. Okay. 6 catches. I think Payne was like 7 for 70 and 2 touchdowns.
I remember Charlie didn't do much. I remember they kind of shut him down. So yeah. Good stuff.
So you got 2 and 5?
Yep.
Okay. All right. This one we talked about earlier. October 13th, 2018. Purdue goes into Champaign and beats the daylights out of Illinois 46-7. As we mentioned earlier, David Blau was 25 of 36 for 377 yards and for 3 TDs and 1 interception.
I think I was in Denver again on this one. I'm almost positive I was. I remember Rondell torched him. DJ Knox torched him. I think Marco Jones had a good game. David Blau, of course, threw for 377.
Yeah, so Rondale had like 101 yards, I think. Can you tell me who? But he did not lead Purdue in receiving yards. Can you tell me who did?
2018.
This is a name I totally forgot about.
Isaac Zico?
Yep. 127 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He had that one hander against Ohio State to start the game 7-0. I'll go with three here.
Three.
Yeah, we had a nice little stretch there in 2018 after we start off 0-3. Then we beat Boston College, beat Illinois, beat Nebraska. Yeah. Then, of course, beat Ohio State eventually. Then
State was the next weekend.
Okay.
Illinois game was October 13th, and the Ohio State game was the 20th. And
then I remember we went up to East Lansing after Ohio State lost to Rocky Lombardi.
Yeah. Freshman. God. Yep. All right, so you got 2, 3, and 5.
I got one left. Yeah, I got one and four left. Four.
Yep. This may actually, yeah, you made a good job. I'm throwing a curveball at you.
Oh, boy.
January 27th, 2007. Purdue beats Illinois in basketball behind 64-47. David Teague scores 28 points, goes 5-7 from deep, and the game was capitalized at the end with Chris Kramer throwing a tomahawk jam.
I remember going to that game, my freshman year in high school. At first, I'm like, what the heck? And then when he said Teague, yeah, he went nuclear, and then Kramer's jam. Oh, man. I don't know what you have left.
Choose wisely.
Man, I'm gonna put this at one because Illinois then, I mean, they're still a good basketball program, but then they were 2 years removed from being national runner-up.
Yeah,
they kind of ran the Big Ten for a little bit. Purdue was finally, that was the first year Purdue was not a joke for the first time, like 4 or 5 years. You know, it was kind of a statement like, hey, we're back to being competitive. So,
yeah. Blitz them, Kramer. I remember watching that on TV and being so excited to see Kramer throw that down.
Matt wasn't happy.
Painter was pissed.
Yeah, Matt wasn't happy. That was on my MySpace page for a long time.
Pretty sure it was on mine too. Forgot about that. You put YouTube videos.
Oh, God, yeah.
What a time.
I would cringe. I would just cringe if I could reactivate and look at my MySpace. Like, we're going down a rabbit hole here. But who ever thought it was good to be able to rank your friends? You know how many fights that started back then? Could you imagine now in the world of social media now? You could rank your friends and gosh, especially in high school. Oh boy.
All right. So you're number four.
Yep.
I could we'll see. This would have been my number one. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
March 5th, 2024. Another curveball, another basketball.
I thought you were throwing one football or one basketball. Nope. You got me. Okay.
Yeah, number three, Purdue, having already clinched a share of the Big Ten title, visits State Farm Arena in number 12, Illinois, who was still fighting for a share of the Big Ten, and wins 77-71 after Braden Smith tells the locals night-night.
Ice in the veins.
Illinois fans were so confident in this game because early in the year in January, without students, Illinois lost by 5, but that was without Terrence Shannon Jr. So they were pretty – granted, Purdue was up a lot in that game, and they kind of just got away from him for a little bit. They got – I remember that game, the refs weren't calling anything, and Illinois was just mugging Purdue. And it being a 5-point game, I remember Trey Coffin Wren had an awesome game that day. He was a beast on the boards. But then fast forward to March, they were so confident they were going to wipe the floor with us because they had Terrence Shannon back. Purdue really honestly had nothing – because we had a home game against Wisconsin next. So it was like all Purdue had to do was just win one game and they would clinch outright. So Illinois needed to win, needed Purdue to, and then also lose to Wisconsin. And that was one of my favorite Purdue games. I was in St. Louis. I was in Missouri for a worker thing. And my boss is a huge Illinois fan. I was watching the game with another Illinois fan. And when Braden hit that shot, I was keeping my cool when that shot, I was pumped. But Zach Edey had a pedestrian 28-8. He was only 2 of 4.
Ho hum, just another night for Big Z.
2 of 4 from the line, Illinois fans. So not a free throw merchant that game. Can you tell me who the second leading scorer was for Purdue that night?
Lance Jones?
Nope. My boy Fletcher Lawyer was 16. Ah, okay. And only like 2 of 3 from three, I think. He had most of his
driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could re-rank, that'd be one. I'll keep the other basketball at 2. And then my regular 2 moves back to 3 and 3 moves back to 4. Keeping the 2016 game at 5.
Yeah. That 2016, I remember I was excited because I was just like, we won. We won a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I remember being more excited in 2014 when we beat them. I remember watching that at Wing Cetera, and our offense looked really good that day with Austin Appleby. I think Akeem Hunt had a good game. We ran all over them that day.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, like, because 2014, I know I've said this before on the podcast. I know people are probably tired of us talking about the crappy years of Purdue football, but that's what we do. We like pain and misery. I remember thinking,
so it was like, it was
that's true. In 2014, I thought we were taking steps forward. We only won three games that year, but I felt like we hung in there against some decent programs. Mm-hmm. And then 2015 was just two steps backwards. And it's like, all right, it's time to cut loose. Yeah. So, yeah, good list. I like it. I like it. The trivia question, I'll tell you that I thought of 5 minutes before we started, and I just didn't have time. I wanted to try to find who's rushed for the most yards against Illinois.
Okay.
Because I've already done a quarterback question. Now I've done two of them, so I need to throw out the quarterback questions. But we are the cradle quarterback, so. And it bugs me how ESPN, like, once you get to, like, 2003, it doesn't show, like, stats on the box
score. Yeah.
So. Oh, well. Oh, well. All right, let's go around the Big Ten, see what games we got going on here. I just want to check the score. Oh, great. Yankees are down 2-1, bottom of the eighth. One out. Oh, they were up, one's up. Okay. Yay. I'm glad my baseball fandom goes down more and more every year.
Yeah.
NCAA football, that's what I want. All right. Fox Big Noon got number 20, Michigan, 16.5 point favorites over Wisconsin, who's already 2-2.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin wipes the floor of them. This is not looking good.
You mean Michigan?
Yes. Michigan. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Michigan's the tougher team. They're more talented. Yeah. I think Fickle's in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble. 330, number 7, Penn State, 26.5 point favorites as they travel across the country to face 0-4 UCLA.
God help UCLA.
Yep.
I guess we'll kind of see how Penn State responds, obviously, to a heartbreaking loss at home. Another.
They should be used to it.
James Franklin. But yeah, I think Penn State just absolutely whips them.
They'll have more fans there than UCLA will.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think UCLA's going to win a game. I thought Northwestern last week was their best shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad. Northwestern, who is 2-2, is only 11.5 point favorites, hosting 3-1 Louisiana Monroe.
Give me Northwestern. They don't cover.
Yeah, I think Northwestern wins. I'll say they cover. I think they win by like 17.
Yeah.
But Louisiana Monroe has beat St. Francis of Pennsylvania 29-0, lost at Alabama 73-0, lost at UTEP 31-25, or won at UTEP 31-25, beat Arkansas State 28-16.
Okay.
So there you have it. Interesting, sneaky good game here. 3-1 Washington travels to 4-0 Maryland. Washington's a 6.5 point favorite.
Are they really?
Wow. Yeah, that surprises me.
I was going to pick them in an upset, but that's not an upset anymore. man, I guess give me Maryland. Although I think Washington's going to win, but I'm going to pick Maryland.
Home team. There. Yeah. If Maryland wins that, I mean, they got to be knocking on the door, potentially being ranked 5-0.
Yeah. They have a chance against, you know, they play Indiana later this year, which is a chance to knock off a top 10 team.
You know, I've only watched Maryland a little bit against Wisconsin. But when I watch them, they're very athletic and very fast.
Yeah.
So Loxley can recruit. He's always been able to recruit. So
yeah,
he's having a good start there. I'll take Washington on the road. But man, it'll be interesting. It does help that'll be a 12:30 Pacific time game for them instead of a 9 a.m. But that's a long road trip.
Yeah.
Interesting one here at 4:00 on FS1. 3-1 Nebraska hosts 3-1 Michigan State. Nebraska's 11.5 point favorite.
I think Nebraska, just because they're home, gets it done.
I do too. I just don't know much about Michigan State this
year. I know nothing outside of who their quarterback is. And that's about it.
Yep. And then the night game on NBC is number 1 Ohio State 4-0 hosting 3-1 Minnesota. Ohio State is a 23.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I think Ohio State wins by 35.
Yeah, they're the best team in the country right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a beat up Minnesota a little bit. Have them come in with their heads hanging low next week. So, all right, ranked matchups. Not the greatest week here.
So it's hard to beat last week.
Here's a very interesting one in the Big 12. Number 14, Iowa State, who's 5-0, is 1.5 point underdogs at 3-1 Cincinnati.
Wow. Old Satterfield.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Coaching for his life this year, really.
Just seems that long ago. Give me Iowa State in this one.
Yeah. I think Iowa State wins as well. I was surprised they were underdogs. Number 21, Notre Dame, is now 2-2 after just kicking the doors off of Arkansas. They are 19.5 point favorites at home against 3-1 Boise State.
Yeah, I don't know much about Boise State this year post Genty, but I think Notre Dame takes care of them pretty easily at home.
Yeah, Notre Dame's got to be pretty focused here on out. Before the season, I guessed Notre Dame to lose two games. I guessed them to lose Miami and this one. I'm changing my tune, though. Boise State's lost one game. They got beat 34-7 week one against South Florida. They've played fine since then, but this isn't the Boise State team that made the playoffs last year. So give me Notre Dame, and I think they cover. Number 24, Virginia, 4-1, coming off an exciting double overtime victory over Florida State, travels to Louisville, who is 4-0 and a 6.5 point favorite. Does Jeff Braum beat another ranked team?
I think he does.
I do too. Who else does Louisville have on the schedule? I mean, because they scrape by Pitt. Oh, okay, they go to Miami after Virginia.
Oof.
And then they have Boston College at home, at Virginia Tech, Cal at home, Clemson at home, at SMU, Kentucky home. Yeah, they could still win 10 games.
Yeah.
No wonder why he left. I think this is the game day game, if I'm not mistaken. Number 16, Vanderbilt, 5-0, travels to number 10, 3-1, Alabama, coming off a big-time win at Georgia. Alabama's 10.5 point favorites.
Was it? I think Johnny Football is going to be on the sideline with Vanderbilt this weekend.
Stupid.
Whatever the quarterback, is it Pavila? Is that his name?
I think that's how you pronounce
He's got a lot of moxie, but...
He does.
I'm going to take Bama. I'm going to take Bama. What's the spread?
10.5.
I'm going to say it's a single score game.
I'm going to take Bama pretty big. I think Vanderbilt's good. It's cool what they've done to their program. Their coach has done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
But I think Bama now is focused after winning at Georgia. They're on a mission. And they want revenge from last year's game.
Yep.
So, number 11, Texas Tech 4-0 at 4-0 Houston. Texas Tech's 11.5 point favorite.
Give me the Red Raiders.
I'll take Houston in the upset.
Okay.
If you like passing, this game's for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 9, Texas, 3-1 at 1-3 Florida. Texas is only a 6.5 point favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of Texas, but it seems like they're just kind of been meh for a top 10 team. I'm going to say they win. I'm going to say it's about like 14 or less.
I'll say they win and they cover. I think Arch does something Uncle Peyton didn't do very well and play good against Florida. That's the one team that was a pain in Peyton's backside was Florida at Tennessee. So, speaking of the state of Florida, big one here. Number 3, Miami, 4-0 at 3-1. Number 18, Florida State. Miami is a 4.5 point favorite.
Yes, yeah, that's a really good one. What a turnaround for Florida State after last year's disastrous season. I think Miami's really good, unfortunately. Not a big Carson Beck fan, but I think he's really solid, and I'm going to take Miami.
I'll differ here and take Florida State, bouncing back angry, but I think Miami's a better team.
Yeah.
It would shock me. Miami wins pretty easily, but I'll take Florida State just to be different. And lastly, for top 25 games, Mississippi State, 4-1, should probably be 5-0. They probably should have sealed the deal against Tennessee, but still a heck of a turnaround compared to what they were last year. At number 6, 4-0, Texas A&M, say 14.5 point favorite.
I think Texas A&M covers at home.
I do too. I do too. Kyle Field should be rocking for that one.
Yeah.
Because Texas A&M's in the driver's seat right now for a playoff. So can't slip up now. So, and that brings us full circle back to Purdue and Illinois. We need to do our score predictions and our predictions for most valuable player.
All right. I'm going to pick the Boilers to win. I'm going to say 35-31.
Woo! 35.
Yep. Put up some points.
I like it.
VP Devin Mockaby. He gets it going. What was the last one? Is that it?
It was a score prediction. Yeah, an MVP. Oh, yeah. We already did our bold one early. I kind of messed that up, but I'm also taking Purdue. I like where this game falls for Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Bye week after you got roughed up in the trenches by USC and Notre Dame. Got a bye week, so 2 weeks to prepare, even though that meant nothing to the previous staff. And Illinois is coming off a big win for them against USC. They host Ohio State next week. Could they be looking forward? You would think Brett wouldn't let them look forward, but yeah, they could be looking forward as, you know, that so-called trap game. So I'm taking Purdue 27-20.
Okay.
And my MVP, go Tony Grimes.
I like it.
He has, I said Purdue would have multiple interceptions. He has one of them. So go with Tony Grimes. One interception, handful of tackles, couple PBUs.
I like it.
Assuming they throw his way, that is.
Yeah.
Which Notre Dame did a lot, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, but should be a fun one in Ross State on Saturday. Looking forward to it. Hopefully it's a full house.
Mm-hmm.
So, but before we sign off here, we got to pay some bills and let you know about both of our great sponsors that have been on board with the Boiler Breakdown podcast now for a few years. And the first one we're going to mention is The Shop. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by, Mad Mush. Wow. I was even looking at my read and it just, The Shop came out. We'll get to the shop. First one we're going to mention is Mad Mushroom. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, literally right in the middle of campus. And they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever I visit, Evan visits, or Aaron visits, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which I don't have the pizza of the month for October yet. So be on the lookout on our social media accounts. Once I see that Mad Mush puts it up there, we will get it out to everybody tomorrow. But I'm sure they'll have a great pizza of the month. They always do. Maybe something Halloween themed. I don't know. But any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, for $5 off any order over $20. That's on madmushroom.com. Mad Mushroom, feed your head. And can't put over their food enough. Cheese sticks, pizza, grinders, wings. Can't go wrong. Now, Webby, you get to talk about The Shop.
Yeah, happy to have The Shop back once again. They've been making hometown apparel for the fans since 2011. Started out, obviously, in their garage. And now they've got three retail locations across the Indianapolis area. One in Carmel, one in Briarpool, one in downtown Indy. So if you find yourself in the Indianapolis area, make sure you stop on by. They've got great people, a lot to choose from, whether it's, you know, Indiana, you know, universities in the state, local pro sports teams, anything related to the state of Indiana. They've got a ton for you, whether it's a shirt, a hoodie, a hat, stickers, flags, jackets. They've got some really cool stuff. And as basketball is approaching, look for more drops for them.
Yep.
But if you can't make it in person, make sure you go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN. You get free shipping. It's October, which means Christmas is a few months away.
Yep. It's time for me to place my annual order. So yep. I haven't done it yet. I need some new. So I got rid of some clothes not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Made some space in the closet and in the drawers. So that means time to get some new stuff. So, yep. All right, Webby, any final thoughts as we wrap this thing up?
It's crazy we're in October. I mean,
man,
four games in, third of the way through the season. Basketball practice has started. It's officially started. Like, it is official now. There's an exhibition game later this month. Or I guess
it's going to be televised on the SEC Network. So yeah.
No, so this is kind of the exciting part of the season. Sure. Kind of really see where the team stacks up. Real good measuring stick. And hopefully I have confidence in them, and hopefully they can pass the test.
Yep.
Not looking 4-0, but let's get a couple wins.
Yep, and one more prediction I'm throwing out there. We see Purdue pull off another trick play. They did two of them against Notre Dame. Did one against USC, which somehow worked. I think that's going to be a common theme we see. I think, you know, that's one thing I can respect, is even if Purdue's going to lose games, so far this team's been fun to watch. So
yeah, that's, I mean, at this point, it's kind of all, I mean, it's all we can really ask for right now. It's one thing that, you know, we saw last year, which is just get bludgeoned to death, and it's not fun to watch. But if you can make it entertaining, at least like make it feel like you've got a chance, then that keep our attention.
Yep. For now. Yep. Yep. Compete. Don't give up. Be fun. And like one thing my wife notices, she thinks it seems like the players have more fun playing out there than last year. And they seem to maybe like each other a little more. I mean, it's hard telling from the stands or watching on TV, but body language speaks. So, all right. Well, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Illini, and get that cannon back. Boiler up.